I heard the story of skiing in Colorado. I know we just got done with that season, so you probably don't want to hear about skiing. But he shares the story about him being on the slopes, and he saw some people wearing red vests. Wondering who they were, he went closer to read those words that said on their name tags. It said, "Blind skier." He was astounded. If you've ever been skiing or just watched other people skiing, you know how hard it is and how hard it must be to ski with two good eyes. And imagine not being able to see and ski down the slopes. So he went to find out from their ski instructor and asked him how a blind person could ski. And the answer was fascinating, he says. Each blind skier is given a guide. That guide may ski beside, behind, or in front of the blind person, but always in a place where they could communicate with each other. And nowadays, I found out that they do have electronic radio hooked on, so the instructor could tell them in their ear whether to turn right or left, or to be watch out, you know, there's a skier coming on your right side, so forth to guide the skier down the hill. And the only instruction that is given to them regarding what to do is to listen carefully and do according to what the guide tells you to do. If he says right, don't turn left. I mean, sometimes I do that, you know. Look at the right side and I look at the left for some reason. But you got to be attentive. And isn't that what the Holy Spirit is all about? He is a guide. He is the guide for us. Life is much like skiing downhill, totally blind, doesn't it? We can't see even 5 seconds into the future. We can't see the struggles and heartaches and the pain that awaits us. We can't even see the other skiers coming or darting towards us to watch out. But the Holy Spirit knows. And as you experience the Holy Spirit, you know, you witnessed how He guides you down those slopes, if you will. In today's Gospel, John chapter 16, Jesus talks to His disciples and He says, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will guide you. Now, in the Greek language, guide means guiding a person who is blind. I mean, that whole concept of guiding a blind person, that's the word that is used in the Greek when this is written. Translated as guide. The Spirit will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit has come to guide us into all truth. The truth is in the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit is helping us understand God's Word, in other words. The truth is in God's Word, but how do we understand it? How do we see it? You know, sometimes when we look at Scripture, we are blinded. There are certain things, of course, God does not reveal, but He reveals to us when the time is right, when we really need to see or hear something. God speaks to us through His Word, and He reveals that. So the Holy Spirit is the guide for this blind person that we are. It is also interesting, isn't it, when you think about Jesus' ministry, the 3 years that he ministered to people. Nobody took notes. Do you realize that? I mean, today, if you go to a lecture, or if you have a teacher, or if you know a person who is come with great knowledge, what would you do? Would you take notes, or would you say, it's okay? I mean, yeah, there are some of you who might not take notes. I mean, yeah, you have a photogenic memory, you'll remember everything. But I would, quickly jot down points to go home and kind of look back. But it is so interesting. Jesus says here, there is so much I have to tell you in this gospel. He says, I don't have time. There is so much I cannot convey, but the Holy Spirit will guide you. In other words, how beautiful God put this. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is among us, kind of like a note taker, or helps us remember, helps us understand and know what Jesus had said. His disciples who wrote the Gospels were able to basically write notes, guided by the Holy Spirit, so we today could understand. Here is Paul saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God in the Word of God. So, God beautifully planned this, that we today, even 2,000 years later, are able to know what Jesus spoke, and not what he just spoke, but what did it really mean to me right now in 2015? The Holy Spirit reveals that to you and to me. The Holy Spirit will guide us. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, to empower us to do the works of God. Here is a beautiful example or analogy written by an unknown author about how the Holy Spirit works. He writes, he says, it is amazing to realize that in a river lies incredible power of electricity. But you don't see electricity in the river, do you? You just look at the river and go, wow, beautiful water. Rivers have been dammed up through the genius of engineers. The dams have been built that has, in an incredible way, the ability to store electricity that can send hundreds and thousands of volts of power into households everywhere. There are hundreds of thousands of volts of energy available to your home and mine. But the only problem is those volts sent in their own power would burn up our home. Correct? Hundreds and thousands of volts coming into your house. It's like a lightning bolt. So knowing that, the engineers have built what is called transformers. Not transmitters, transformers that transformers break down the electricity into meaningful units of power that you and I can handle and use. And even that broken down power, I mean, stick your finger in the light socket and you will know. I mean, this is just broken down so we can handle it. And even that gives us a zap. Wake us up, exactly. The Holy Spirit is God's transformer. He takes the incredible power of God and in the right place, in the right time, in the right way, gives it to us in such a way that we can handle and we can use it to give us the power that we need and to be all that we need to be for God. Because He acts as the transformer, you know, we're able to experience God. You would remember in the Old Testament with Moses, you know, when Moses goes to see God in the mountain and comes down, people could not even see Moses. He was so bright because he's been with God. I mean, you know that. We as humans are not able to see God face to face. You know, our sinful nature, who we are, all of us, you know, we cannot be in the same place that God is. We'll just get zapped. I mean, more than zap. And you can see that evidence in the Old Testament. You know, the priest goes into the Holy of Holies and sometimes they cannot come out. I mean, they're zapped. So the Holy Spirit is the transformer. He's in between God and us, and He kind of breaks it down, breaks the power of God so that we can handle as humans. We're able to handle it. And you see there in Acts of the Apostles how the power of God came. And yes, you know, they saw the flames and fire and so forth. It is incredible. But today, God uses that same power to minister to us, to empower us, to help us go and serve, to love one another and to serve in our community. I mean, that's our mission statement, isn't it? Empowered by God to love and to serve one another. Well, how do we do that? How do we do that? Let's look at the church in the New Testament. You know, first, they opened themselves up to the Spirit of the living God. They opened themselves up. They allowed God's Spirit to flow upon them. And as you read the Acts of the Apostles, you know, there was a lot of prayer. It just did not happen. I mean, Jesus said, go, wait, and pray. Wait for me. They gathered in the upper room. They prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And even before when God's Holy Spirit came upon the church, you see, there's a lot of prayer. Prayer is kind of that foundation. It allows us to open ourselves to receive what God has for the church. And you see that, how on the day of Pentecost, they were empowered by God's Spirit. You know, the disciples who were there before, who were so coward and they were hiding behind closed doors. Peter stands and preaches in front of 3,000 people. What happened? Peter could not stand with Jesus when they came and took him to the cross. He was so afraid, he ran naked, left his clothes and ran away. And that same Peter today stands and preaches. What happened? Transformation of that Holy Spirit in Peter's life. So the church, the New Testament church opened itself up to receive God's Holy Spirit. And we are able to do that, to open ourselves and to receive God's power of the Holy Spirit. Then what did they do? They were also empowered by the Holy Spirit to go and to love one another. You know, they ate together, the scripture says. They prayed together, they sang, they worshiped together. They had all these things in common. They helped each other. Read that chapters. Beautiful, isn't it? When one was struggling, there were others who said, it's okay, you know, we'll be there for you. It was a community. They brought all their goods and put it there as a common. If somebody didn't have something, they took it from the pool. And if somebody had something else that they needed, they took that. This way, the whole community was able to experience that sharing. Wouldn't that be beautiful? I mean, think of that. They were able to come together, care for each other, love each other, and serve. Before we go to the part of serving, I would like to share with you how each of us, as we come together, as we encourage each other, when we come to worship, when we come to Bible study, when we come to Sunday school or small groups, you know, it energizes each one of us. I don't know about you, but I've tried this. I used to work out in a fitness center. This is back when I was young. you know, worked out in a fitness center. And then I thought, no, you know, I could do the same thing at home. You know, I bought a treadmill and all the stuff that you would need, you know, a small size. And I started to work out at home in my basement. It went pretty good the first week, two. And then, you know, it's just like, oh, I don't want to do this. All by myself in the basement, running this treadmill like crazy, it was not exciting. Then I go back to the fitness center and I look, and boy, all these folks, older adults, younger kids, younger than me, you look at them and you get energized. You think, huh, if he could do it, I could do it too. I mean, you look at the energy and you're encouraged to work out. And isn't that how the church is? Our journey of faith, we cannot do it by ourselves. It would be boring. It would be too complicated. But when we come together, when we are with each other, we can encourage each other. When somebody is down, we can say, that's okay. We are there for you. We'll care for you. We'll help you get through this week. Then when the other person is down, there is somebody else to lift that person up. That's how it was in the early church. And that's what small groups and Sunday schools do to us. And that is, you know how important that is for our life journey. And then we go out to serve. We are the transmitters now, not transformers. We are transmitters of God's power now to our neighbors. We've received it. As I shared that story, powerful story about the electricity, think about it. You got Niagara Falls, not too far away. You know, the energy that's created there, the electricity that's created there, if they keep it all right there and not send it out, don't you think it would be a waste? You know, you create such energy, you create such electricity. You produce it, but if you don't transmit it, to wherever the electricity goes, I don't know. I got to do some research. I don't know where that electricity goes, but I know it goes and it's made use of. And that's how we are as Christians. And we receive God's power, we receive Him, we are empowered, but we do not transmit. Jesus calls us to go and be transmitters of His power, to experience it and then to go out and share your experience with others and bless others that they may be blessed and know that Jesus is Lord. I'm so proud of you. The last couple of Sundays, you took the offering for Nepal. It was $600+ that was raised to help those folks who had experienced this earthquake and lost homes and lives. And you've done that. I know special offerings to touch people. You've helped with Love Inc. And especially now as we're asking for your support to help some families to have a meal, the chicken barbecue. I mean, these are small ways how we can transmit the energy, the power of God through Jesus to our neighbors, to help them that they can someday be able to experience the same things that we experience as sons and daughters of Christ. May the Lord help us this day of Pentecost, that we will receive that power as a church, as a congregation, empowered by God to love and to serve one another here and others beyond these walls. Amen.